Over the past couple of years, the Mapleton Water District has had their share of difficulties in getting water to the public with some infrastructure issues that have been going on. We all know about the sled that they had to have in there temporarily for use for giving water to the public there. Art Donnelly is the vice chair of the Mapleton Water District Board, and he's joining me today to talk a little bit about that and what direction is going on. Art, thank you for coming in today. Appreciate you being here.
Hi, George. Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. You know, one of the things I'd like to do today is not only dispel some of the impressions that people have of Mapleton being a disaster. We've made a lot of progress over the last couple of years, but also your listeners' impression that their utilities may be supplied by them or they. Mapleton Water District is us. It's we. It is a community-operated and therefore community-owned utility. All of our board members are both community members and Mapleton Water District customers. All of our operating staff is our community members and Mapleton Water District customers. We've got a stake in it. Everybody that drinks water in Mapleton has got a stake in it. Everybody in the Upper Valley, from Mapleton on up through to Deadwood, has a stake in this. We supply the water to the volunteer fire department. If you've got a fire, if there's a forest fire, we're the ones providing the water. We supply the water to the Mapleton school system. If your kids go to school there, if you rely on Mapleton School District for cultural activities, games you go to and stuff like that, we're the ones that make it possible. No water, no school. All of the essential services in Mapleton, which is a hub for all of the Upper Valley, are dependent on us. That situation got much more defined in terms of the critical nature of the services we provide this past year. So in 2025, the itty-bitty, struggling little Mapleton Water District was more or less forced to take over the Mapleton sewer system. An even smaller and, unfortunately, an even more dysfunctional piece of infrastructure, without which that row of businesses, including Maple Lane RV Park, 40 more or less low-income units of housing, could not exist. They're too close to the river. So without access to the sewer system, they can't have occupancy permits. No occupancy permits. Their doors are closed. That's it. They're out of business. So like I said, we've taken that over. We now own that system, and we now operate that system. This is going to really figure into our discussion about grants and where the money is right now.
What is the current status of the infrastructure for the water dispersion? I mean, I know that there's been some issues over the past couple of years. You've had to have boil notices, some breaks in lines and things. What are you folks currently working on or have worked on in the past year to kind of stabilize that?
I hate to put it this way, but I want to be really honest with you. And I also want to highlight the fact that Mapleton is a great example of a phenomenon that's occurring all across rural America right now. So the truth of it is that most of our infrastructure was put in the 1950s. The Mapleton Water District, officially incorporated in 1951. So most of that 15 miles of distribution line was put in during the 50s. That means a lot of it right now is hitting 75 years old. Estimated service life of those lines is 70 years. Most of that's composed of asbestos concrete lines. The older they get, the more brittle they get. The more brittle they get, the more subject they are to things like soil subsidence, slope movement, pressure cracks, stress cracks and stuff like that. So we've managed to stabilize the situation through three primary techniques: good luck, duct tape, and chicken wire. But we just happen to have an operations staff right now that is extremely skillful at duct tape and chicken wire. And luck's been on our side for about a year and a half.
And obviously that's not how you want to depend
no,
on things.
No. Nope.
But the biggest deal is finances on how to repair this, and it doesn't look like the federal government is able to put some money to it, at least in the recent year with the DOGE cutting of certain funds and everything and cutting of grants and that. I know Val Hoyle said that they were working on trying to get places like Mapleton Water District some money in that and maybe even the state. So what's the current mm-hmm. status of the ability to repair this financially?
Well, what you said is true. You know, the landscape's got much more difficult in terms of accessing funding for any kind of infrastructure, but particularly for rural infrastructure like sewer and water. That's dramatically changed over the last year. But I want to give you some context. So in 2024, Mapleton had done a long overdue engineering project, which is called a Water System Master Plan. So it cost us $80,000 to have a civil engineering company come in and completely evaluate the current system, map it all out, date it all, look at the condition, and then come up with a series of recommendations for what we needed to do to make that system reliable for the next 20 years, then put a price tag to it. Get ready. That price tag was $29 million. Wow. So think about this. Depending on how you define Mapleton, Mapleton has under 1,000 residents. Our system right now has, I believe, 260 paying accounts. That's difficult math right there. If you're going to pay for that with user rates, how are you going to pay for that with user rates? Everybody knows that. However, going out and finding that money was tough in the best of circumstances, and now it has just gotten much more difficult. Mapleton managed to replace its damaged water treatment plant. That happened in 2020 as the result of the Sweet Creek Fire. The Sweet Creek Fire was what you would call a last straw event. So the system was in dire disrepair, mostly due to age. The pressure put on it by that fire started to take elements of it down, and it conclusively took down the water treatment plant. So for a period of almost five, the district had to make do with a temporary rented, very expensive treatment system inadequate to its needs, which caused continuing outages and boil notices during that period.
So, plus it took funds away from things.
Plus it took funds away from operations and maintenance, which mounted every single year. Currently, if we look back over the past 5 years, running almost $100,000 a year in repairs on distribution lines, that's unsustainable, absolutely unsustainable. It's due to age. So the problem is, although we've gotten lucky over this past year, that situation will only get worse. It can't get better by itself. There's no self-healing 75-year-old distribution lines. So we replaced the water treatment plant, upgraded the facilities up there with an ARPA loan. That was the American Rescue Plan. That was money that came out of the COVID era and everything. And along with that, a loan or a grant from the state's lottery fund and a large loan, totaling up to about $3.5 million. It put us in debt. There's no question about that. But we got that plant up online and running last year. We had a celebration, barbecue up there and invited state officials who had helped out. Boomer came down and everything. Boomer has been a huge ally. I hate to see him leave the state house this coming year. He's done an awful lot for this district. There's no question about it. But like I said, we got that online and everything. Jeff Merkley has helped out quite a bit as a result of Jeff's efforts. We got an allocation, which we were able to turn into an award through the EPA, to replace about $1 million of that distribution system line in one of the highest priority neighborhoods. Val Hoyle has helped out quite a bit. With Val's help, we were able to get an allocation last year that we are currently in the process of turning it into an award with USDA to do rehabilitation work on our 200,000-300,000-gallon storage tanks. So that's our reservoir right there. Each of those two storage tanks has come within a year or so of reaching its maximum estimated service life. One of the two of those is 75 years old, and it looks it. If we can't spend the money on it, we don't have it currently, that will be offline. God forbid we have a fire and don't have that 300,000-gallon reserve. We're actually, even with those two tanks, 300,000 gallons below the recommended storage capacity for a district our size.
So you could use another tank even, so three
There's
tanks.
A story there, George, and that's a story about 2025 and what happened to the grants space in 2025. So not only was money pulled back from programs canceled across the board at EPA and FEMA and a number of other agencies that were the prime agency providing grants for rural infrastructure. But what hurt districts like us even more was grants that had already been awarded, but which funding agreements had not yet been signed. That's the actual contract, were canceled. In some cases, of course, things were canceled even after those contracts were signed.
What was the
But so we lost $3.5 million from the FEMA BRIC program. That district had worked its butt off to get that money. And you have to remember, too, that going after something like a $3.5 million grant is a big project. We're a fly spec, you know, district with very few paid staff, run mostly by volunteers. So what did we have to do to get something like that lined up and successfully secured? We had to pay consultants. So to get that $3.5 million grant not only cost hundreds and hundreds of volunteer hours, but it cost tens of thousands of dollars in consulting fees.
And then to come out with nothing.
And to come out with nothing. That was the story of 2025, unfortunately. We're going to be hurting because of that for years to come.
And you're only talking about $3.5 million of a, you mentioned earlier, $29
million,
need for replacement.
$18 million of that is distribution line.
And I'm betting it's not a good idea to do this one step at a time. It'd probably be better to do it all at once if possible.
If you want to lower the cost.
Yeah.
I mean, really seriously, if you want to lower the cost on replacing infrastructure, do it all at once. I mean, it all needs to be replaced. If you do it in a piecemeal fashion, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but one of the things that you do is when you put the new pipe sections in, it increases the pressure on the older pipe sections. It makes the older pipe sections that much more likely to fail. We do a lot of Band-Aid work. Essentially, you know, so a section, we identify where a leak is and we go in and chop out just that section. Now, that bad pipe might run for 2 miles, but we're going to replace just that couple of hundred feet, a Band-Aid duct tape solution. So, yeah, you know, and now we've gotten, I'm very, very, very hopeful on all of these, but we've got a number of hooks in the water right now. So we've got three different applications out there right now for funding for the distribution system that would total up to over $3 million. We've got an application out there right now to replace that failing – well, to refurbish that failing sewer system for just about $1 million. If all of these could come in, if we're successful in half of them, I'll feel like we're making progress, significant progress. Probably at this point, in terms of the economic vitality and community and environmental health of the Mapleton area, the one that I'm most worried about is the sewer system.
What does the rest of 2026 look like as far as possibilities for funding, for more work to be done?
That's a really, really difficult question to answer. And I've got to say that, you know, over the last several years, we've developed a really robust network of consultants some of whom we can access for free because we're members of the Special Districts Association of Oregon, which is also a subunit of a nationwide organization. So I'm in close contact with grant consultants that sit in Washington, D.C., and keep a very, very close eye on what's going on. They can't say. There's a reason. The reason is that right now the budgetary process that Congress has been employing last year and now into this year is not normal operating procedure. This the use of these big bills. It's the use of rescission. It's the use of reconciliation. There's all these techniques that are being used that circumvent the old-fashioned appropriations committee bottom-up funding model that Congress used for a couple hundred years. So that model has been turned on its head, and now last year and into this year, that model is a top-down model. So the administration can prevent things from moving forward and is preventing things at times from moving forward on a very granular level, right down to the functioning of specific programs in specific agencies. So we see the indication that there are some opportunities that should be opening up. But so far, NOFOs haven't been dropped. So a NOFO is a notice of funding opportunity. Without a NOFO, without the instructions, you can't access the application package to begin the process. We've already seen that play out in real time with one of the grants that we just submitted. So I just submitted a close to $2 million grant, start to finish, in 5 days. That is insane.
Sounds like
that it. That is insane. Now, luckily, I was able to build on a grant that we had largely written already for a program that had gotten canceled. So I had all the figures. What I didn't have is the letters of recommendation, the letters from two of the state agencies that I needed and stuff like that. But Mapleton has gone from being infamous. And I'd say our board leadership and our current very, very professional staff has a lot to do with this. But from being infamous to being relatively famous for being scrappy and coming back.
So you guys are getting a lot done with little.
Yeah. So we've got allies. We've got people that understand that we're serious and understand that we follow through. So when I said help in that 5-day period, we got help. So you don't want to do things that way. But if the agencies are scrambling for direction and unsure of what's going to happen, and especially if they're working with 50% less staff, I would point to Region 10 of the EPA as a great example of that. This is the result. It makes things a lot more difficult for the end user in this case being small rural communities. So we're already behind the curve. We don't have the capacity and the resources. So I'm not a grant expert. Jesus, my degree is in fine art. Yeah. You want me to whittle something for you, I could do you a bear. But, you know, ask me to do a $3 million federal grant. It's been a pretty steep learning curve.
And you make one mistake and they throw it back to you,
right? That's
right.
Yeah. And that's happened.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened.
Wow. I appreciate the work you guys are doing there, and good luck on the future, and hopefully you'll find some of this money. I just, you know, I'm going on my head, I think of all these millionaires and billionaires out there who have all this money that they're just hoarding, and it's like, one of them, hey, just give us $29 million, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. That's my son has said the same thing. He lives up in Seattle. You know, and when I talk to him, I often am complaining about what we're doing, what we're experiencing. And he said, can't you just get Phil Knight to fund you guys?
Phil Knight, Elon Musk, yeah, Warren Buffett.
Or do a GoFundMe campaign. Yeah. I was like, yeah, well, it's not really
working. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, with bake sale.
Yeah, bake sale. GoFundMe and a bake sale.
Yeah, there you go.
Art Donnelly.
It could come to that.
thank you so much for coming in today and getting us kind of a picture of what's going on over there. We appreciate that. And good luck this next year. Hopefully you'll grab some more of that money.
Thanks, George. I really appreciate it. And like I said, I cannot say enough about how lucky we are to have the people that have stepped up in our community, like our staff, who are amazing, and the people that have stuck with it on the board, which is difficult to say the least, be there for us. It's our water district. It's our water. Without the local involvement, it's nothing.
Well, thank you, and thank the staff and everybody out there working so hard. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, George.
Coming up next on Our Town, Jackie Beveridge with the Seroptimist here in Florence talks about plans for the 250th celebration of the United States.